What I'm going to share with you tonight will not be something that you never saw before. It will not be something that you've never heard before. It may not even be something that you have not realized previously. But perhaps it will be something that it will help you to be reminded of. It was for me a very simple but profound truth. I believe that the most marvelous thing and the most important thing that God has been accomplishing in the earth in recent years with this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not tongues, is not the charismatic experience per se, is not healing, is not deliverance, is not planting new churches. All of those things are happening as a result of this outpouring. But I believe the most significant work that God has accomplished is to develop a new understanding, a new appreciation, a new awareness concerning the Word. And I believe that it is the very important ministry of the Holy Spirit in these last 15 or 20 years particularly, to exalt the Word of God to the place that it rightly deserved from the beginning of time. It's no coincidence that the Bible opens in the first chapter of Genesis with God's word power in action. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We see in the very beginning, we see the power of God's word bursting upon the earth in the form of creation. I want to share tonight a few scriptures concerning the power of God's word. And I want to make something, I want to make just a truth known. I want to declare a very simple but powerful truth. And if it has not been something that you're consciously aware of in recent days, I believe the reminder will be helpful to you. Have you found the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11? Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." God's word is his power. It's more than has power. It is his power. And that when the word of God is spoken, when it goes forth, the power is present immediately to produce what the word says. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter and the third verse. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. "Remembering now that the Lord has said that just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky, they do not return thither unproductively, but rather when they get to the earth, they water the earth. They cause the earth to bring forth bud and then bloom and subsequently a fruitful harvest." He said, my word is just like that. When it goes forth from my mouth, once I have spoken a thing, it does not return to me unproductively. When my word goes forth, my power is released in that word in order to do what the word says. When I speak my word, my power is let loose in the earth to accomplish my will. In the same way that when the heavens loose their rain, the power of that moisture is released into the earth to cause the earth to be fruitful. When my word goes forth, my power is loosed. It is released in sufficient measure in order to produce what it is that my word is promising. Hebrews 1 and 3, talking about Jesus here. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The phrase I want you to draw your attention to is the phrase right in the center there, by the word of his power. Not by the power of his word, but by the word of his power. Now notice the difference there. God's power is not in his word. His power is his word. It is not the power of the word. It is the word of his power. His word and his ability are one and the same. God releases his power in the earth through his word. He releases his ability in the earth through his word. All that God is, ever was, and ever will be, is all wrapped up in his word. And when his word is declared, when his word is released, all that God is expressed. All that he has is made available. When God's word goes forth, his power is released in the earth to produce the will of God. I want you to remember that. It is the word of his power, not the power of his word, if you get that basic distinction. Now turn with me once again to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, and reading a single verse. This is one of my favorites. Jesus is talking here about the law and the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament, but he's referring here to the word. When he uses the term law, he is talking about the word of God. Verse 17 of the 16th chapter. Jesus said this, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass." How easy is that? Not very. Not easy. You know anybody that could cause heaven and earth to pass away? I haven't met anybody lately like that. "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Jesus is using the same type of figure of speech here as he used when he said, "It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a man who trusts in his riches to enter heaven." In other words, he is describing the impossibility of it. And what he is saying is that not one tittle of the word of God, not one promise, not one facet of the promise shall fail. It would be easier for heaven and earth to just disappear than it would for the word of God to be without ability, to be without power, to be void, and to be null, and to be without effect. The power is contained in the word. When the word goes forth, the power of God is released or expressed. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, on the first temptation, Jesus responded to Satan and he said, "Man doth not live by bread alone." But what does he live by? By what word? Every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It is the word of God that has given us life. How should a man live? By what does he live? By the word of God. There is life in the... How are you born again? By incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. The word of God is the life-producing force. It is the word of God that brought creation into being. It's the word of God that brings the new creation into being. God's power is his word. That's what Jesus was referring to. The thing that got me thinking about this week is Psalm 107 and verse 20, and some of you would be able to quote that for me, I believe, if I gave you the first couple of words. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. God, how did God provide healing? By his word. He sent his word and healed them. Well, how do we know just what God's word will do for us? How do we know the degree of power and the degree of God's ability that is vested in his word? How do we know what God's word will produce for us? I believe the best way, this is the best way for me, is to look at Jesus. John 1 and 1. You're right in the neighborhood. Let's turn over there. Now, I'm leading up to something here. I'm laying a foundation for you. And as always, I'm going in a certain direction. And I do have something specific in mind that I'm leading to a particular truth that I want you to get tonight. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word and God are the same. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that referring to? Jesus. God's Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation 19 and verse 13 tells us that His name, that is Jesus' name, is called the Word of God. Jesus and the Word are the same. Jesus is the Word of God, the power of God, the ability of God, the wisdom and the counsel of God, all wrapped up in a human body and delivered special delivery into the earth. If you want to know what God's Word will do for you, simply look at the gospel records, examine what Jesus did when He was here on the earth, and that is what God's Word will do for you today. Now, let me say that again. If you want to know what the Word of God will do for you, examine the gospel records where you have the Word of God in a flesh form. His name is Jesus. And if you observe what Jesus did on the earth in flesh form, the Word made flesh is active in the earth. The power of God is released in the earth. Everywhere Jesus went, what kind of a trail did He leave behind Him? Everywhere the Word went, look behind Him. What was left behind? What kinds of things did He leave behind? He left behind abundant healing, didn't He? Abundant healing. All kinds of signs and wonders. But what kind of signs and wonders? The sick were healed by the multitudes. The demons were cast out and people were set free by the multitudes. Those who were bound by sin and guilt, what happened to them? They were cleansed and they were forgiven. Didn't He say, neither do I condemn thee? He said to the woman caught in adultery. You remember the crippled man, the palsied man in Luke chapter 5. And Jesus said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. He left a trail of cleansing. He left a trail of forgiveness. He left a trail of people that were no longer bound by the power of their sin. What else was left in that trail? He left a trail of prosperity, didn't He? Praise God, I remember places where He served 5,000 men and their families with a little boy's lunch. And a short time thereafter, He served 4,000 more and their families. That's what I call prosperity. Here's a man that did not have a house to call his own, and he did not have a place to lay his head. But there's no record that he ever went hungry except by design when he fasted. He left behind him a trail of prosperity. Here's a man that when he was unable to pay his taxes, he sent Peter down to the sea and said, throw in a hook, first fish that comes up. You get that fish, put your finger in his mouth, there'll be a shekel there. Pay my half shekel tax and your half shekel tax. What a way to pay your taxes, man. I mean, now that is a way to do it, isn't it? He left behind a group of believers who were empowered. We see them in the upper room and on the days following the day of Pentecost, and we see men and women who previously had denied that they even knew Him, who had scattered when the shepherd was smitten. Now we see them filled with the power of God, and we see them standing in the streets and boldly declaring that this man, Jesus, whom you crucified, God has ordained Him to be Lord and Christ. And we see people coming into the kingdom through that empowering. We see peace. We see comfort. I'm reminded of the widow at Nain. We see women getting their dead raised back to life again. I'm reminded of Lazarus' two sisters. And now Jesus wept with compassion when he was there that day, how he identified with them and provided not only comfort for them, but also an answer to their heart's desire, raise their brother from the dead. You get the picture, don't you? If you want to know what God's word will do for you today, examine the ministry of Jesus Christ and watch what happened to those people that were around him and those who came in contact with him. We read, perhaps we could just take a moment and read this in Acts 14, the story of Paul at Lystra. And when he got there, he preached the gospel, we're told, at verse number 7. Acts 14 and verse 7. And there they preached the gospel. And there, what did they preach, in other words? They preached the good news and they preached the word. They preached the word of God. Now, what was being released at Lystra? The what? The power of God was being released. Everywhere the word of God is preached, everywhere the word of God is taught, everywhere the word of God is shared one to one, every place where the word of God is discussed and talked about, every place where the word of God is published abroad, you will see a demonstration of the power of God, because that is just as surely to happen as when the rain comes down from heaven, you will see grass grow. You'll see flowers begin to bud and bloom. Just as certainly as when you send rain from heaven, you will get the fruit of the earth. When you send forth the word of God from a pulpit or from your kitchen table or from your backyard fence or from the radio or from the newspaper or on the street corner or wherever God has given you an opportunity to bring forth the word of God, you will also see the word of God producing its fruit in people's lives. Don't you ever forget that. What Jesus did when he was here on the earth, that is what the word of God will do for you today. You may have what the people who followed Jesus had. You may have it in the same abundance, if not greater abundance, if you're in the presence of the word of God. The word is his power. This is the express reason why I believe that the most significant work that the Holy Spirit has done in the earth in recent years is to release a move of the proclamation of the Word of God like, I haven't lived all that many years, but like probably has never happened in history. Today people are reached by television and radio and publications and books and literature and tracts and Bibles, and there are millions of people, perhaps even billions, who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, but I'm not discouraged by that. I am encouraged by the technology that the Lord has put within our grasp and within our means to use to reach people that would not have been reached 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. Today there are churches springing up in every community. And the one thing that makes them distinctive is not that they speak in tongues, not that they believe in healing, not that they believe in the charismatic experience, not that they believe in casting out devils, but they believe in preaching and declaring and teaching and sharing and living the Word of God. That's what makes them distinctive. In our own community here, and in communities all over our country, there have been churches for 80 years that teach speaking in tongues. There have been churches for many, many years that have taught and preached in the area of healing and deliverance and the Holy Spirit and salvation and so on. The one distinctive quality and characteristic of this latest move of the Holy Spirit, perhaps the last one, I don't know, is the way that the Word of God is going forth from our pulpits. Whether they be charismatic pulpits, or Pentecostal pulpits, or Baptist pulpits, or Presbyterian pulpits, or whatever label is on them. Where you hear the Word of God preached, you know that you've got a move of the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is behind His Word, because His Word is the release of His power in the earth. You don't ever want to chase a label. Don't ever chase a man. But do follow hard after God's word. Set your face like a flint and follow the word of God. If you've got to go 100 miles to hear God's word, go 100 miles. Go after God's word. Here's what happens when you sit in the midst of God's word. Verse 7. And there, that is at Lystra, they preached the gospel. They preached the word of God. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. How did he have the faith to be healed? Because the word went forth, you see. The power to heal is in the word. The power to produce the faith to receive that healing is also in the word. Paul preached that gospel. He declared the truth to him. He perceived in the spirit that this man was receiving and that faith was being developed. And Paul spoke and said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. The scripture says he jumped and sprang up and began to walk. That's what we ought to expect. God's word to do its work. Well, why is it that even in places where we see the word preached, and even in people's lives who are dedicated to a personal reading and study of the word of God, that oftentimes we don't see that word producing in them? What other factor is involved that causes the word to be unproductive when we have seen that it is impossible for it not to have the power to produce? My examination of the scripture tells me there is only one thing that will cause God's word not to produce after its own kind. And it is the very same force that prevented Jesus from producing when he was here. Do you know what that force is? Unbelief. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 58. The record is also in Mark 6, 5 and 6. But especially the Matthew reference is so clear. And it says that when Jesus was in Nazareth, that he could there do no mighty works because of their unbelief. It is only unbelief on the part of those who hear the word that makes the power that is inherent in that word null and void. The word gets stolen, it gets choked out. Our traditions cause us to not believe the simple truth. This morning after the morning service, we ministered to a young man who was here today for the first time. His friend had brought him to the service. After the service, he was talking with a couple of our fellows, talking with Elder Chris Schallenberger and some other men that were standing around there. He just blurted out, he said, "I need help." And they got talking to him, find out what kind of help he needed. It turns out that he is a drug abuser. He's addicted to drugs. He's an alcoholic. I estimate the man is probably in his mid-20s. He said he was expelled from high school in 1974. Didn't complete his schooling. He's in opposition. He's in rebellion against his mother and father, who are Christians, he said. He had given his life to Jesus Christ several years ago, but now he is bound. Demonic spirits have him so bound and have filled his mind with such lies. He said, "When I leave here, I'm probably going to the closest bar." He said, "I do not have the strength any longer to resist. I know that God has the power, but I can't believe it. I know what the Bible says, but I just can't believe that." The devil has filled his mind with such lies that he is bound to be destroyed in this and that there's no hope for him. And we took him into this prayer room and began to share God's word with him and began to talk with him and began to share the promises with him. But he just refusing to accept, just like a wall. It's like a wall. Jesus said about that kind of a situation, the word is of none effect. It does not operate for this reason. As much power is in the Word of God, it will not operate against your will. I want to say that again. As much power is there that there is in the Word of God, sufficient power to raise Jesus from the dead, sufficient power to take this void earth and make it the beautiful thing that we see today. The same power that was present in those events is unable to work in your life and in mine if we hold that power at arm's length through our unbelief. What will God's Word do for you today? It will do everything for you today that it did for those who were in Jesus' ministry during Jesus' day. What limitations are there on the power of God's Word? The same limitations that there were in the days that Jesus was here on the earth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 tells us that the Word of God is not bound. Paul said the Word of God is not bound. There is no power, no force strong enough to bind it, to make it without power. But it can be made without effect through unbelief. Isaiah, going back to our original scripture, says, just as the rain comes down from heaven, waters the earth, causes the earth to bring forth bud and bloom, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will prosper in the thing for which I sent it, and it will accomplish the purpose that I intend. How do you tap in to the ability of God's Word? First of all, you must read it and hear it for yourself. And then secondly, you must accept it for what it is. Believe it, and act upon it, and it will produce for you in the same way that the rain produces in the earth. It's the same principle. Whatever Jesus, God's Word made flesh, was able to accomplish in the earth when He was here, God's Word will do in the earth today for you, for anybody else who will simply allow it to. Now, to me, that's a wonderful truth. I would be disappointed to know that Jesus was not presently here on the earth if I didn't know this. Would it be awful to know that when Jesus was here for about 3 or 3.5 years during His ministry, that there was healing available, and deliverance, and forgiveness, and cleansing, and peace, and empowering, but that when He went away, it was no longer available? Wouldn't that be bad news? That wouldn't be the gospel, would it? Wouldn't be good news. The good news is that those things are still available and that they come to people through the proclamation of the Word of God. I marvel as I stand in this pulpit and I bring forth the Word of God as the Lord lays it upon my heart. And I watch some of you as you come into our services, and the first time you come, it's kind of skeptically and sort of you're not really sure what's going on here, but there's something in your heart that just is reaching out. I want more. I want more. You're not really sure that you understand everything that's going on, but your heart is crying out for more, 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 more. And the next thing I know, I see you at this altar, or I see you accompanying somebody into a prayer room. I'm looking out here right in front of me, and I see this lovely young girl here in the middle. Lori, I'm looking at you. And I'm just reminded of so many like Lori who came here purely on purpose. And it seemed for a while that every time Lori would come, she'd bring a new young man. And I don't know whether she was just bringing them for security or comfort or whether she was trying to get them under the preaching of the Word. I don't know. But then I noticed that she was coming all by herself. And I noticed it wasn't a social event anymore. I noticed she was coming for the ministry of the Word. And she came, hallelujah, she came into these walls and the Word of God just rained on her and rained on her and rained on her and rained on her. And if you hadn't seen the bloom and the fruit that's begun to be produced in her, you are blind. Now that's only over the last several months, I guess, isn't it? Something like that, Lori? And I hope you'll forgive me for using you as an example, but you just happen to be right in my line of vision tonight. Usually you sit right over here. But I've seen that. See, I've watched you. I've watched many of you in that way. I've watched the Word of God just come forth And not only from the pulpit, but I've watched the rest of you share personally and individually and intimately with the rest of the folk. I'm going to tell you something about the power of God's Word and about what's happening in this place. If you continue to hang around here, you're going to find this power loosed in your life. It's an irresistible kind of thing. It will wear down your opposition if you just stay under it long enough. It'll produce faith in your heart. The first thing you know, you will just begin to see your life just changing. You went, ooh, what's happening? I like it, but I don't know how this just took place. Well, it took place the same way the flower doesn't know exactly what happened to it. All of a sudden, it's blooming. And that's what's happening to you. All of a sudden, you are blooming. That is the power of God's Word working in you. I expect that as long as we preach the Word of God, as long as we are faithful to continue to declare it, dads, if you're faithful to declare it in your homes, and teachers, if you're faithful to declare it in your classrooms, I believe we can expect these evidences, these signs and wonders to follow, just as they followed Jesus when he was here. That's the simple truth. It's not any terribly new or exciting doctrine, but I don't know about you, but it thrills my heart just to know that that sort of power is available to us. I take great joy, great pleasure, great satisfaction in being able to preach the Word of God. I couldn't preach anything else. I mean, I didn't learn how to preach anything else. And if I didn't have God's Word, I would be lost. I can tell you I wouldn't be preaching because I don't have anything else to preach. There's a great joy in my heart when I know that I have declared the truth, when I've declared the Word of God, even though I may not see any effect of it, even though I may not see the evidence of it, but I know that it's producing and I know that it's working. Praise the Lord. Well, let me have everybody on their feet, please. Everybody stand. You've been such a good congregation tonight. You've been on your feet for a long time while we've been praying, or you've been off your feet, rather, while we've been praying and while I've been preaching, and I appreciate your openness to the Word tonight and to the ministry. Let's just be dismissed tonight with a good confession.
I believe
that the Bible
is the Word of God.
In the same way that I believe
that Jesus is the Word of God.
I believe that every promise in the Word
has with it the power
to produce itself.
I eagerly desire God's Word.
I want it to rain on my life. I want it to rain on my spirit.
On my soul and emotions. On my physical body.
I want it to rain on my family. I want it to rain on my work and my job.
I want it to rain on my ministry and my calling.
Therefore, I shall know
that when I respond in simple faith,
the power of God is released
to produce on that promise.
I eagerly anticipate the fruit of God's Word
in every area of my life.
I'm healed.
I'm prospering.
I'm saved.
I'm free.
I'm filled with power.
I have no wants.
I am completely satisfied and full.
Because God's Word
lives big in me.
Now, Father, dismiss us in the power of this Word and in the influence of this power.
In Jesus' name, amen.